So scriptural prayer. Our primary focus has been on intercession and supplication, standing in the gap for others, praying for others. And yes, in supplication, we pray for ourselves also, but mainly we've been looking at praying for others. And I want to talk a little bit about something that helps us in praying for others. And open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And while you're doing that, I'm going to give you a little bit of extra information. There's one other thing that I felt as I was reading in my Bible this morning, I thought was important to share with you, especially with how much Old Testament reading we're doing right now. When you are reading the Old Testament, it will help you to understand that in the Hebrew, when they were translating it, there really wasn't a good tense for some of the words to be translated in the sense of they translated it so that it's more like God caused something to happen, but a better interpretation of the Old Testament would be God permitted or God allowed. So when you're reading through the Old Testament, it seems like, well, God's causing all these horrible things to happen to people, and then God does this, and then God does that, and these are horrible things. So Brother Hagin was teaching us on this, that he said he was really studying a lot and really trying to understand this, and he went to a scholar in Hebrew that said there really wasn't a good word for translating it into the English language in some of these places. So it looks like God caused these things to happen, but again, better understanding is God allowed. Actually, the devil causes evil, okay? The devil causes evil. God doesn't cause a hurricane to come onto somebody as punishment. That just is not what God does as punishment. What happens is if somebody walks out from underneath the covering, remember when we used an umbrella and we showed you the covering of love? Here's God's covering of love. You're under an umbrella as long as you're walking in his commandments and you're staying in love and you're obeying his commandments. You are protected by God. What happens is if somebody sins, they walk out from underneath the covering of the protection. And at that point, the devil has access to them, has access to do things. God does not cause bad things to happen, but God allows it because of disobedience or whatever, something like that. Do you understand? So the key is get under the umbrella and stay under the umbrella of love and staying right with God. It means repenting quickly if you do something and just staying right with God, staying under the covering of love. And then you're under God's protection. And thank God we are in the age of grace and we have Jesus and we have the blood of Jesus. Okay, but it's very important to understand that, because when I was reading even today, it's like, you know, then God caused this to happen and that happened. And I'm like, oh, I need to go over this a little bit. So do you understand the difference? It gives you the wrong impression of God. It makes you think that God is kind of doing some mean things, but God's not. And you'll see that it's always tied to disobedience. When it says, then God caused this, I want you to think God allowed, God permitted. And if you look, it's because somebody had sinned. Somebody had really sinned. What did they do? They walked outside of the covering and the protection. Then the devil had legal access to them. Okay? You want to stay under that covering. That's all we're going to say on that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we're only going to go over a few more passages, and then we're all going to pray together, okay? It is very important for us to be able to go boldly to the throne of grace. God wants us to go boldly to the throne of grace. God wants us to pray for boldness. Yeah, even with him and with others. In preaching the word, in witnessing to others, God wants us to use boldness. It is a good thing to pray for boldness. One of the greatest ways that we can have boldness is by not being sin conscious, but being conscious of our righteousness, which we have through Christ. Sin consciousness will give somebody an inferiority complex or a guilt complex versus somebody that knows that they're washed in the blood and they're clean and they've been made righteous by Jesus. So one of the best ways to have boldness is not to sin. That's actually the best and the easiest, because if there's no sin, there's no guilt. There's nothing you even have to repent for. There's nothing that you need to get washed from. The next best is that you just confess your sins to God and you believe that you're forgiven. And it's important that you don't just repent, but you repent and believe. It's not, oh God, I'm sorry, but it's, oh God, I'm sorry. I thank you that you heard me, that you receive my repentance, and that now I'm forgiven and I'm made righteous. Therefore, even though that was 3 minutes ago, hope you don't mind me saying this, like the dog, I thank you that I can come right up to you with boldness, right? Because there's not some waiting period after you sin. There's not some self-punishment period, at least there shouldn't be, of, well, now I have to be separated from God for 10 days because now I'm unclean. We're not under the old law. We've got a better covenant. You repent and you're made righteous immediately. Immediately you're made righteous. Immediately you're in right standing with God. So then immediately you can go boldly to his throne to pray. So it's important for us to know that, because if you have anything kind of hanging there, bothering you, you know, you go to pray and then you just don't want these thoughts hindering you. You want to get rid of the thoughts. You want to claim what the word says. 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, not some, all. And Isaiah 43:25-26 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isn't that wonderful? Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. In other words, he washes our sins out for his sake because he wants relationship with us and wants us to be able to go boldly into his throne. Therefore, he says not only does he wash it out, but he'll remember it no more. As far as the east is from the west, so are your sins from him. He blots out your transgressions for his sake. And he is the one that is choosing not to remember them anymore. Do not you remember them anymore. Okay, when that thought comes up of that thing, you just, no, it's forgiven. It's washed. No, I refuse to think on that. Because sometimes the thought of the old sin is not even from us anyway, right? So sometimes you just have to stand and resist. No, I will not think on that. And then you quote the word, the same way that Jesus quoted the word to the devil. If I confess my sins, I'm faithful, and you know, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Devil wants to mess with you, you know, in your thought life, you just say, no, here's the word. I'm forgiven. And you stand, and then you boldly pray. Boldly pray. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have confident access. We go in with confidence. So you need to know that you are in right standing with God before you make your requests. You wait until you're out there praying with people. Sometimes we used to gather with some other churches and have like corporate prayer meetings. And a lot of them were denominational churches. And you sit there and you listen. And it's just, here it is. Woe is me, the little earthworm, deserves nothing. And beg God. Just no faith. They don't know who they are. They don't know that they've been necessarily washed clean. They don't understand that they've been made righteous. There's still so much sin consciousness of a holy God and a sinful man that they don't understand the revelation of what Jesus has done for them, and there's not a sense of ownership of that. So everything to God is a beg, and sometimes without faith. Okay, God doesn't want meaningless repetition. He doesn't want something over and over repeating the same words. He doesn't want a tradition. He doesn't want tradition set up. He wants relationship. He wants you communicating with him. And he wants you knowing that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're a royal priesthood. You are in his family. You are his children. He wants you coming boldly to his throne. He wants you praying. He wants you talking to him. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But see, somebody's got to know they're righteous. Otherwise, they think, well, they're disqualified and their prayers don't count. No, when you got born again, Christ made you righteous. Immediately, right then, he made you righteous. And righteousness means right standing. And then you've got boldness to ask and approach God. Because you've got a clear conscience. And because he blots out your sin for his own sake. And so you can then boldly make requests. believing he hears you and believing that he answers, not because of how great we are, but because of how great Jesus is. Okay? So it's not of something that we've done. It's of something that we've gotten the understanding as to what he's done for us. So based on his righteousness that we've been made righteous with, we approach God. Isn't that wonderful? That we can stand boldly before God and ask for things? And that we have understanding. I remember people saying, oh, how can you pray for a need, for your own need, when there are so many starving people in India? Because my God is big enough to meet my needs and feed the starving people in India that will ask him. And we can stand in the gap for the starving people in India also. How can you throw that food away? Why don't you just, you know, what about all the starving people in India? Well, if they weren't worshiping rats and believing that they were gods and they were, that people were reincarnated into these animals, they could eat the meat and live, okay? So again, it's a wrong sense of religion. It's a wrong understanding. But that doesn't mean that, but we still have freedom here. You know what I'm saying? If you throw something away, it's okay. Why? Because God seemed to think it was okay to catch more than enough fish. And till the nets started to break. God seemed to think that it was okay when he provided food, okay, and they prayed over the bread and the fish, that it was multiplied to the point that there were 12 basketfuls left over. Well, so you could say, well, what about the starving people on the earth at that time? Wasn't he concerned about them? I'm sure he was. But he was meeting the needs of those that were seeking him and following him. He's a good God, and he's more than enough. He's more than enough to meet your needs and everybody else's needs. We don't need to go without a car and walk here because the poor people in India don't have automobiles. So I'm not going to have an automobile here. I'm just going to send all my money over to India. Well, that's kind of silly thinking, right? Because we need jobs and we need to work, and this is a very sufficient means of transportation. Okay, so again, just kind of thinking kind of off a little bit. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance. When we prayed last week, I heard Margaret pray this. I was so proud of you guys. Hearing you throw out scriptures and praying based on the word and bringing God in remembrance of his word. It's awesome. It's great. And so she was praying that God would give us the nations as our inheritance. Well, what a fantastic inheritance. Of all the things that you could inherit, salvations, it's really good. Yes. All the things that you can ask for. So in your daily going to God for your daily needs, don't neglect the bigger picture. Like when he tells you to pray for the nations as your inheritance. And that's a calling on this church. There's just something that God has for us about going to the nations. And maybe we have not seen that in its fullest yet. We've not really even started. Just hardly by sending out a couple missionaries. Mark's giving me a funny face. Mark's gone out. Kara's gone out. Some missionaries have gone out. But eventually we're going to be going out in teams into other nations preaching the gospel. Okay, we are going to do it. It's going to happen. So it's just a matter of God's timing and getting you all trained and ready and desiring to go. And we prayed this, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. That's another thing to pray. Pray that God sends laborers into the harvest of the Bay Area. Instead of Christians deciding it's too expensive to live in this area and making a decision based out of the natural circumstances, we want to see Christians making decisions out of being spirit-led. I don't move depending on real estate prices. I move based on the will of God. And I stay based on the will of God. You see what I'm saying? And God is more than able to provide for us here. So, but is God able? Yeah, God is able. Okay, so we want to pray that more laborers be sent into the Bay Area. It grieves me to hear so many Christians leaving this Bay Area when we need them so desperately to be a witness and a light. But we believe that, you know, everybody's led. We believe the best. And but let's just keep praying for God to send people here. Okay, we can pray for the reign of God's Spirit. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask ye the Lord, and it talks about sending rain in the time of the latter rain. And rain is symbolic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Mariella was, oh yeah, got something on that on Sunday, and that was powerful. You know, that was anointed. And so I'm excited about that. I believe that that's true, that God is pouring out now, that it has begun, and that we're seeing the beginning of it. And it's exciting. James 5:7 talks about the early and the latter rain. And it says, to be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. And then Acts 2:16 talks about what it'll be like in the last days, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And it talks about prophesying and visions and dreams. Well, it seems like we're in the last days. So we can ask for the outpouring of God's spirit. And this is what I'd like to do today, to be poured out into every church in the Bay Area. Because as we pray for other churches, we know that we get blessed also. And for the move that we want to see in the Bay Area, it's going to take prayer and praying for the rest of the churches. And then we know 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, it talks about the varieties of gifts or the manifestations of the same Spirit. That's something else I'd like to pray for too. Pray that God will manifest His Spirit, that He will move and flow like that in the churches in the Bay Area, and specifically in ours. So that gives us a foundation in Scripture for prayer. And now what I want to do is move into prayer and use those as like a diving board, a springboard to go off of to pray.